Deuteronomy chapter 25. We'll be in verses 13 through 19. Let's read these together. Thou shalt not have in thy bag different weights, a great and a small weight. Thou shalt not have in thine house different measures, a great and a small measure. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget. You and I are responsible to glorify Holy God. Every man is responsible to obey God in thought, word, and deed in perfect holiness. No exceptions. With sinners, the only way that we glorify God is by looking away from ourselves, believing on Christ Jesus, the Son of God. But how is it that totally ignorant, unjust, unholy prisoners of sin do that? How do we even do that one thing of looking from ourselves to Christ the Lord? Repentance is turning from ourselves. Faith is trusting Christ the Lord. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God will receive glory from sinners who have been made to understand that they owe all that they are to His particular choice and grace toward them in Christ Jesus. The way that we get in Christ Jesus is of God. He puts sinners in Christ Jesus by His sovereign choice. We get in Christ that way and that way alone. Our minds have been so thoroughly corrupted by sin that the only way our own ignorance is overcome is by God Himself making Christ wisdom unto us. Our sense of God's justice has been so completely eradicated that we think it is just for God to accept us based on a superficial obedience to His law, that God is just to totally disregard the sin that we are by nature and the sin that we're guilty of prior to us coming to our religious experience and deciding we're going to turn over a new leaf. That sin's got to be dealt with, or God's not just. And we don't have any understanding of that justice, of the righteousness of God, until God makes Christ righteousness unto us. Our spiritual corruption runs so deep that our idea of separation from this world and of holiness before God is something we think we can obtain by our own strength, by our own obedience to the law. by doing something or abstaining from something, we think that has made us holy before God and separates us from this world. And we boast in it and are proud of it and what we've done or haven't done. And therein reveal that we're not holy. We're still trusting ourselves. And until God makes Christ sanctification unto us, we'll go on thinking that's how we're sanctified, by our strength. We are so totally set upon ourselves, so totally set upon having our way, so totally set upon saving ourselves, of being our own wisdom, our own righteousness, our own sanctification, and so set on everybody else catering to us and treating us that way, that we will not realize we are not our own, that we have been bought with the blood of Christ, and we are not our own, and we will not realize that. A sinner will not own up to that and confess, look away from himself to Christ until God makes Christ unto us redemption. And so when he does that, he puts us in Christ. He makes Christ our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption, because therein, by God doing that, we can't glory in anything. And that's what, as it is written, he that glorieth, got to glory in God, what he did for us. And that's worshiping God. And until God breaks our old, unjust, deceitful balances, we go on glorying in this flesh. Whether we think we contribute 99% to these things, or whether we think we contribute 1% to these things, it's a deceitful, wicked balance. It's a unjust, unholy weight and measure. And God won't have it. He won't have it. The title of the message this morning is A Perfect and Just Weight. A Perfect and Just Measure. We're going to see great and small weights, what that means. We're going to see the perfect and just weight, the perfect and just measure. And we're going to see the thing that thou shalt have. The thing that thou shalt have. First of all, Deuteronomy 25:13 tells us, Deuteronomy 25:13, thou shalt not have in thy bag different weights, a great weight and a small weight. Thou shalt not have in thine house different measures, a great measure and a small measure. The meaning of this law is this: we're to use just weights and measures. When we deal with, the weight has to do with dry goods, what's weighed. The measures have to do with a liquid, what's poured out, oil and wine and things that are measured by a liquid. The law states here that whenever items were brought to be put on a scale, they were not to have, if you're buying some items, they would bring the item and they would put it on a scale. And they would have a weight that was the required measurement of an ephah. Of the just weight, the just measure. And they'd have it, just like you have a $100 bill. It's got to be a real $100 bill. It can't be a counterfeit. And they would have this weight, and they'd put it on the scale, and they would measure it to see if this is the correct weight. Now, if I'm buying something, and I come to the scales, to the market to buy something, and I walk into the market, and I pull out my heavier weight out of my bag, and when the seller puts the goods up there on the scale, and I take my heavier weight and I put it up there, it's going to show that he hadn't quite given me what I paid for. He hasn't quite given me an ephah yet. So he has to put more on there to level it out so that I have. And that's deceitful, because I bring in a weight that's not the true weight. It's a heavier weight so I can get more when I'm buying it. And then if I turn around then and I'm selling my goods and I take my smaller weight out then and I put it up there so that it looks like I've given way more than enough to the person who's buying it. I make a big profit off of it. I've bought at a deceitful weight. I'm selling it at a deceitful weight. So I'm profiting on both ends of the deal. God said, that's deceitful. You can't come to God that way. It's got to be just. We can't have a great stone and a small stone. He says, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, lately, we've heard the public outcry, whether it's legitimate or not, it's alleged that there were some unjust dealings of men in corporate positions, lenders and so on, and they used deceitful practices in their dealings with working with men and women. And we've seen how far-reaching the effects of such deceitfulness can have upon a nation. Eventually, it's going to catch up to everybody involved. It's going to have an effect on everybody involved. Corruption, which subverts just dealing between men and men, undermines society. It'll completely undermine society. If somebody starts counterfeiting our currency to the point that it weakens our dollar, our society is weakened, it's diminished. So it is with unjust dealings between men and women. If that happens, the laws of buying and selling are corrupt. A nation has no security and is sure to fall. Well, far worse is the deceitful measure used when approaching the all-knowing God of heaven and earth. If any of God's law does not pronounce us guilty before God and place us squarely at His feet of mercy, then we can be sure we have not heard the law. We can be sure that we're guilty by thinking we have obeyed it. We're guilty of an unjust and imperfect balance. This law had a direct relation to the offerings which sinners brought to the temple of the Lord. If the weights and measures were deceitful, when it came time to bring an ephah of a homer of wheat as an offering, when it came to bring the tenth part of a bath of oil, the precise amount would be off. It would be unjust. The precise amount wouldn't be brought. It'd be unjust and deceitful before God. He says this, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? And the scant measure that is an abomination? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? Now, this is the case with every sinner. This is the case. If this was the only law God had given, if this was the only law God had given, this one law would be enough to shut our mouths guilty before God Almighty. This one law would. Just this one. In verses 17 through 19, the Lord calls to remembrance the unjust, deceitful dealings of Amalek to the children of Israel. They were freed from slavery, came out of Egypt tired, weak, like a babe in Christ who's just been delivered by God's grace. And Amalek came up by surprise as they walked in the way. And he struck from behind and he attacked the weakest and the faintest among them. And he did so because he didn't fear God. And he's held up here as an example of unjust, unholy, unrighteous dealings of men. Right here. A child of God, by God's grace, is just learning of Christ. Just walking with Christ by faith, and some Amalek comes up by surprise and says, now, before you get over to one side on this thing and out of balance on this thing, you understand that Christ's work and what He did doesn't balance out this equation, what you do. In your acceptance of Him, this balances out the equation. Now, you got to understand now that lawlessness is on this side and legalism is on this side, and it is up to you to keep the balance. It's up to you to use Christ to balance this thing out as you walk the tightrope of faith. If we begin to imagine that God's choice of us was based on something in us, it's an imperfect, unjust weight. If we begin to imagine that Christ's work of making God just and justifier is only made effectual by our faith, that's an unjust weight and an unjust measure. If we imagine that that regeneration or conversion is somehow dependent upon the sinner's power to choose or reject Christ, so that ultimately the choice is ours and lays in our hands, that's an unjust and unholy weight. If we imagine that perseverance is something in which the believer should glory, then we fail to recognize that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We fail to recognize that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Every gift we got from Him. Our complete standing we got from Him. We were called into this fellowship by Him. And Scripture says, and He'll confirm us unto the end. And this is the favorite. This is the favorite among those around us. You begin in the Spirit. You begin at Mount Zion in Christ. But now, if you're going to be made perfect, if you're going to be sanctified, you become holy by going back to Mount Sinai, by going back to the law, to your flesh, to your obedience, to your will, to your wisdom, to your strength. That is an imperfect and unjust balance. Different weights and different measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Do you understand that? I don't care if you don't agree with what I'm saying. I don't care. I'm not the one you got to deal with. You got to deal with holy God is who you got to deal with. You've got to come into His presence, and He will accept nothing but a holy and just measure. That's it. That's all. God states in His law that we cannot have two stones, two weights in our bag. When the Lord said, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith." They paid these things, and they told sinners to obey God. That this is the law. You need to obey God. That being holy before God is separate from this world was by obeying the law. Being separated and holy in this world is trusting Christ through faith. It's in Him that the whole law is established, and in whom sinners establish the law. The weight by which they balanced the scales of justice was the unholy, unrighteous weight of man. The best righteousness and the best justice, the most perfect and just weight, would only be as perfect as the best man. And it would still fall short of the glory of God. But they had another stone to measure what they received. That was the stone they used to measure what they were going to give to God, was the law. But they had another stone based on how they wanted God to measure out His justice and His righteousness to them. And it was a lot smaller. Or a lot smaller so that He wouldn't be quite as just and harsh with them. They were sincere. They'd done many works which in comparison with other abominations may have not been as bad an abomination. But an abomination is an abomination. Coming short of the glory of God is coming short of the glory of God. There can't be two stones in our bag. There can't be a great stone and a lesser stone. There can't be our persons in Christ's person. There cannot be our works in Christ's work. There can only be the exact requirement which God requires. And that's Christ Jesus the Lord. The exact that word perfect. And that word just, that word perfect means whole. W-H-O-L-E. It's got to be holy. Can't be missing any part whatsoever. And that word just is righteous. Got to be holy and righteous. That's what God requires. But listen to me now. The weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, as well as the lesser, are perfectly performed, not by us, but by Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the exact ephah, the shekel of the sanctuary. And by faith in Him, we have established the law of God. We have the measurement which God requires. But as long as our message, or as long as our ideas of sanctification and righteousness and justification focuses on us, it's unjust. It's unjust. We not only omit the love of Christ which constrains sinners to deal justly. That's the only thing that constrains sinners to deal justly. in mercy and faithfully with other men is the love of Christ and how God dealt justly and perfectly with His people. That is the only thing that will constrain a believer to walk honorably with Him. By pointing men to the flesh, won't do it. That's dealing imperfectly, unjustly, deceitfully with men, and it will not do. Do you hear me? It won't do. Do you hear me? It will not do. I don't care if your daddy said it, that it'll do. If your mama said it'll do. If you think it'll do. I don't care. It won't do. You've got to understand that. It will not do. Because you're going to come one day into the balances of a holy God, and when you do, you will have to have the holiness God requires, the righteousness God requires. And if you do not have it, hear me, brethren, hear me, you will perish in your sins justly. If it was just me, if it was just my way of thinking, I would just say, here, have your way. It's God's way. It's God's way. Notice something in Deuteronomy 25:13. It does not say simply that we are not to use different weights. Thou shalt not have them. Don't have them. Don't even imagine, entertain the thought of falsifying these weights. Because that's you're guilty. Sin is what we are, brethren. Sin's not what we do. What we do is the result of what we are. When you walked out of the grocery store with your buggy, and you loaded all those groceries into your car, and you looked underneath the buggy, and there was that bag of charcoal or that bag of dog food that you forgot to put on the counter and ring up. When you look back at that store, at how far it was back up there, and you had that fleeting thought of how easy it'd be just to drive off, you broke God's law. And when you took that bag and walked all that way back up there and you handed it back to the clerk and had them check out and you had that thought of what a good thing that was, you offended God's law as self-righteous instead of Christ being all your righteousness. That's just how precise God measures in the heart. The man who pats himself on the back glories in his goodness because he didn't drive off. He may be less offensive to God than the man who drove away without paying. But there is none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. The point is, mortifying this flesh, yielding our members unto holiness, is not done by trusting your flesh, but looking away from this flesh. It's not done by expecting your members to balance somehow between lawlessness and legalism. It's done by looking to the author and finisher of faith, seeking those things which are above where Christ sits. As He is, so are you in this world. It's beholding Him and receiving our strength from Him and knowing that in Him I'm holy. A believer yields his members unto righteousness because he beholds Him and loves Him, not because he's under the law to do so. He's not. That's what makes him want to yield to Christ is, I'm free. I'm free. Did you see the scripture I read in Romans 5 through 6? Go on and read. Go home tonight. Read 6 through 5 through 6 through 7 through 8. And see how many times dominion is talked about. See how many times reigning is talked about. It's power that's been talked about. And everywhere that you find that the mortification of the flesh is mentioned, go through scripture and note something. Everywhere that you find the mortification of the flesh, where you find men being exhorted to turn from this flesh and to trust Christ, you're going to find before, during, and after those passages of Scripture, it's all concerning Christ Jesus the Lord. It's all saying, because you're dead in Christ. You died in Him. Sin has no more dominion over you. Therefore, death has no more dominion over you. You're holy in Him. You're free in Him. So that our constraint is the love of Christ for us. You don't find anywhere where the Scripture just takes the law and says, now here, don't do this and do this. Because that's an unlawful use of the law. The law was given to shut our mouths, that every man might become guilty before the law. The law wasn't given for you to fly to it and try to come to God in it. That wasn't why it was given. And you don't find the law used for that purpose. Find me a place. Find me a place in the Gospels, or in the Scriptures, New Testament, where that's used. It's always having these promises, brethren. These promises are not yes and maybe, depending on how well you obey God now. No, they're yes and amen in Christ Jesus, who perfectly obeyed Him as the representative of God's people. And therein, by just simply trusting Him, we're perfect and holy in Him. And only when we behold Him. We're just about to the end of our study in Hebrews. 12 out of 13, we're going to 13th chapter, we're coming to some very practical instruction. But for the first 12 chapters, it's all been about Christ and Him crucified. Hadn't it? If we're going to mortify the deeds of this flesh, if we're going to behold Him as our wisdom, if we're going to behold Him as our righteousness, He's going to be made sanctification unto us, if we're going to see that we're bought and we're His and we belong to Him, it's going to be through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, not through the preaching of what you need to be doing, not through the preaching of how you balance the scale. You don't balance nothing. You know what you are? You know what I am? Deserving of hell right this minute outside of Christ. That's what we are. That's all we are. Before you were converted and after you were converted in your flesh, that's all you're worthy of. This flesh is not, we're just not going to come to God in this flesh any shape, form, or fashion. Well, quickly, I want to show you this perfect weight, this perfect and just measure. Deuteronomy 25:15, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. A whole, holy, just, righteous weight and measure shalt thou have. If you would approach God, if you'd be accepted of God, have your days lengthened in the land God gives, thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have. That means God requires no sin in your conception, never a sinful thought, a perfect fulfillment of submission to Him, of trust in Him. Christ is the perfect and just weight. He is the perfect and just way. In His person, He's the perfect and just one, the holy man. He, in His heart, was perfect and just under God's law. His obedience didn't make Him just. His obedience didn't make Him righteous. His obedience manifests what He was through and through. Holy, perfect, just. And on behalf of His people, Christ Jesus offered the perfect and just offering to God that His people offended. No sin was in Him, so He's perfect to be accepted. And He took the sin of His people and offered Himself upon the scales of infinite justice. Look at Romans chapter 8 with me. For He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That comes just before, one chapter before, we're told to turn from the filthiness of this flesh. And that's the constraining love that turns us from the filthiness of this flesh. Look at Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, because of our flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How's the righteousness of the law fulfilled in it? You know, a measure is a filling. It's something that's filled. The measure is. What Christ is, because He's the perfect and just weight. What He is in bearing the wrath, the infinite wrath of God, the eternal wrath of God that was poured out on Him. He comes to sinners in need, and He pours out the fulfillment of the law. He pours out righteousness. He pours out holiness. He pours out justice. He pours out everything God requires. It's Him. Listen, for they that are after the flesh, you know what they mind? You know what they mind? You know what their mind's on? Their mind's on the flesh. And it's on touch not, taste not, handle not. Whether I have done it or I haven't done it. How I can balance this equation. How I can make this equation lean in man's favor. Open, just don't stand in the gap now. Open up the gap so men can say, leave here going, well now, if so that one can hear it and say, well, that sounds to me like he's saying Christ is everything. And the other one can leave going, well, I see, I have a part in this thing too. That way, that's deceitful measure. Both hearers, whoever wants to hear it can hear it the way they want to. Do you hear it that way this morning? Do you? I hope that you're not thinking I'm leaving it open. I'm trying to stand in the gap there. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what God's messengers do. You know, God never saved a soul with an idol. He never did. He's never saved a single soul with an idol. It doesn't matter if his name, if you call your idol Jesus. He never saved a soul with an idol. They that mind the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. They seek those things which are above. They look at things that are unseen. They look at things that can't be seen with the carnal eye. For to be carnally minded, what is it? Look at verse 6. It's death. Death. Go on in those things. Go on looking to your flesh. Go on trusting that you've sanctified yourself. Why not trust yourself for all your wisdom, for your justification, for your redemption? Just resurrect yourself. Do everything yourself. Why not? If we're going to do any of it, let's do it all ourselves. Let's take God down off His throne and put ourselves there and be God. By God's grace, I have a heart for the Redeemer that came to this place and laid down His life for me, that poured out His blood for me, that gave Himself for me. And I will not! I don't care how congenial anybody is. I don't care what sentimental reasons we have. I will not bow. I will not compromise what my God and my Savior accomplished for His people in setting them free from the dominion of sin. Let anybody that wants to do it. This one's not. If he keeps me, I won't. If he keeps me, I won't do it. The carnal mind, verse 7, that mind that's set on these things down below, that's set on touch not, taste not, handle not, is set on them because it hates God. Enmity against God. You candy coat it all you want to. That's what it means. For it's not subject to the law of God. And it can't be. Can't be. Can't be. Can't be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way to do it. You didn't think this was talking about you going out committing adultery, did you? You going out committing fornication, did you? It's dealing with those things. But it's dealing with what you think of Christ is what it's dealing with. That's what all God's law is dealing with. You'll manifest what that scripture in Romans 6, it says, those whichever servants you are, that's who you obey. It's not saying you're going to become his servant by what you do or don't. It's saying it'll be manifest whose servants you are. You'll mind the things of this flesh if you're not his servant. If you are your own, if you're your own God, you'll mind the things of this flesh. This is the stone. This is the one stone wherewith God weighs and measures all men. And he did, you know, when it came time, when his son was made sin, you behold this holy and just measure. He didn't just say, well, now that's my son. Well, now that's mom and daddy. I can't deny them. Well, now that's my son or my daughter. I can't deny them. Now, oh, that's my profession. That's my decision. That's my, I can't deny that. I can't deny myself. When he put sin upon his own son, he did not sweep over and say, that's my son. I won't pour out wrath upon him. I won't satisfy my justice. He poured out infinite justice upon him. And satisfied his own justice. No more, no less. The perfect eternal justice was satisfied towards every sinner for whom Christ laid down his life. Satisfied. Look at Acts 17. Acts 17. And God's raised him. God raised him because justice has been satisfied by him. Sin has been condemned in the flesh by him. He reconciled his people to God. Atonement was made by him. Satisfaction has been made by him. They're no longer wanting. They're perfect and just in Him. And this is the stone. This is the measurement that's going to be judged by. Everything's going to be judged by. Acts 17:31. because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by how well one man, how he's showing compared to another man. Nope. By that man, Christ Jesus, the perfect and just weight, the perfect and just measure, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Well, now, I believe God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So he's going to weigh out my good and my evil works. Yes, he is. Like I've told you before, they're going to all be on the same side of the scale. Your good works and your evil works. And Christ going to be on the other one. His perfect righteousness be on the other side. It's not my goodness you'll be weighed against. It's not the good or evil of any other sinner you'll be weighed against. The righteousness which you will be judged by, the perfect and just weight, will be Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God. And here's what God says then. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord's a God of knowledge. And by Him, actions are weighed. Actions are weighed by Him. You know, only by faith in Christ do sinners establish the law. Only by trusting Him, only by trusting Him do we fully meet the just and holy measure God requires. Because He is that holy, just measure. Isn't that what Scripture says? It says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Then in Romans 4:14 it says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. It's by promise. By promise. And He's fulfillment of that promise. When we're paying with our own money, we kind of get this, you know. You know, we can hear Christ exalted to the point that all of our giving and all of our doings taken away, and we get a little hot on the collar if God hadn't done something for us in the heart. We'll get hot and mad, angry about that. But I guarantee you, I worked at a place when I was in college, and we sold shrimp. And the owner of the place, when we had a man that came around every so often to check our weights and make sure that our scales were set right. And the reason that he had to do that is because what we are by nature. We wouldn't have folks that had jobs like that if we kept this law. We don't keep it. And the man I worked for measured the shrimp, uncooked, and cooked them. And so he'd have a pound of uncooked shrimp, and when you boiled them, they shrink. And so then he would measure out a pound cooked, and he put a red mark right there on the scale. And when you measured out a pound of shrimp, that's where you measured them. You didn't measure them a full pound, because that wasn't a full measure. That was over a pound to him. Well, folks would buy these. Folks would come in and they'd give their money. They'd give their own money. And they'd get these, buy them a pound of shrimp. And they'd walk out and they'd take that pound of shrimp home and they'd have a scale or something at their house. And they'd plop those shrimp down on that scale and it didn't come up to be a pound. And man, they'd come back up there to that counter. And they'd be hot under the collar. Now, I bought a pound of shrimp and I paid my hard-earned money. I want my pound of shrimp. You want justice, do you? God gave His Son. And you're coming to Him no other way. If you come to Him, you're coming in what He gave and what He paid. He gave His Son, who gave His life. And you're not coming to Him with a scant measure, calling it your righteousness and your holiness and thinking God's going to accept it. Just as hot as we get when somebody defrauds us because they took away a stinking dollar from us, how much more do you think holy God's going to react to somebody coming in their own righteousness with an unjust measure, not with with His Son? Well, now, thirdly, the thing thou shalt have. Here's what got my attention when I read this law. I read this law, Deuteronomy 25, verse 15. I read this, 13 and 14, verses 13 and 14. I read that, and right away I thought, boy, that's me. I have great and small weight. You know, we always, when we're looking at the other person, don't we do that? When we're looking at the other person, well, they shouldn't have done that. They should have done that. This would have been right and just for them to do that. Put ourselves in the exact same situation. And that weight gets a whole lot smaller, doesn't it? Well, I meant well, though. You know, we can justify ourselves, can't we? Over how we reacted the same way, the same circumstances. And we'll be more lenient with ourselves. I saw those first two. And then I saw that verse 15. Thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, how am I going to have that? How am I going to have that perfect and just measure that He requires? I know I don't fulfill this law. I know I don't obey this law. I think about it. I can buy a block of cheese and think of cheating the guy that's cutting the block of cheese. I know I don't fulfill that law. And therein I've broken every one of His laws. So how am I going to have this just measure? When God brings a sinner to behold the exactness, the perfect and just scales of God, set forth in Christ upon the cursed tree, that sinner is brought to behold what she is, and she hears that according to all her works, and all her righteousness, and all the deeds of her flesh, and all that she's done all her life in religion, she hears God say, "Thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. You've come up short." And such a sinner is brought by God to behold themselves, and they'll be honest with themselves. We won't be honest with ourselves until we see Christ. We'll have every excuse in the book. And we'll get them out of this book right here till we see Him. Till we see Him. And when we see Him, we'll put our hand on our mouth. We'll cover our eyes and our feet and we'll say, "Undone. I am undone." And that sinner that's brought to that place cries out to God and says, "God, I need a just measure. I need a just weight. I can't come to you into your presence without being perfectly holy and perfectly righteous to be accepted by you. I see who you are and I cannot call. All my righteousnesses are unjust. All my works in religion are unjust. Everything about me, I am unjust before you, God." And when He brings us right there, when He brings us there, God writes His law on the inward parts. He forms Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that still, small voice that says to you in your innermost part, Deuteronomy 25:15, "Fear not. Fear not. Thou shalt have a perfect and just measure." Wait. "A perfect and just measure shalt thou have." It's free, perfect, you're justified, a perfect and just measure of grace, of righteousness, of holiness. It's yours. Have it. Have it. Thou shalt have it. Have it. It's yours. It cost you nothing because I balanced my own scales. I'm the righteousness you lack. My righteousness is your righteousness. Thou shalt have a perfect and just measure. Have it. Faith and repentance, a just measure of faith and repentance, of growth in knowledge and understanding of Him, of power and grace to keep you from evil. That's sanctification. Lord, don't take them out of the world. Keep them from the evil. Separate them from it. Turn them from it. To preserve you, to bring you home, a perfect and just measure weighed out by the triune God to you, that thy days may be lengthened. Lengthened to all eternity. To eternal life with Him. In the land. The new heavens and the new earth that He's created. Wherein dwells righteousness and true holiness. Where everything that's made has been made by Him. Which the Lord thy God giveth thee. George. The person that's been brought there, you can't twist their arm and get them to go back to that old deceitful measure again. You can't make them sit down and listen to a man preach using those old deceitful weights and measures anymore. Makes them sick to their stomach. Makes them nauseated. Makes them want to vomit. Because they're talking about your God. Who did this for you? who satisfied His own law for you. And that sinner saved by free grace throws away that fleshly bag with its imperfect weights, and Christ, who started this work in us, continually, faithfully, never allows us to go back to that filthy bag again and look to those weights and measures. He continually keeps us from that evil of looking to this old dirty mop to try to clean a dirty floor. He keeps us from it. We came here to remember His broken body and His shed blood. Is this the Christ you trust? If it is not, you will drink damnation to yourself taking this cup of this bread and this wine, because you're not discerning the Lord's body and His blood. You're taking this thing lightly. This, what we're about to do is to remember His body, which was broken because of your sin. You believe Him? Then this blood, this body was broken, and this blood was shed because your sin put Him there. And He willingly went there and had His body broken and His blood shed because of your unjust, wicked balances. And the perfect and just measure of a thrice holy God broke the body of Christ Jesus and shed His blood. God's holy and just measure broke His body and shed His blood. Couldn't be any other way. Salvation couldn't be any other way for His people. And because our God's perfect and just, the scales of divine justice say of you, believer, with His stripes, you're healed. Made the righteousness of God in Him. Made complete. W-H-O-L-E. Whole. Holy in Him. I pray this is the God we remember. I pray this is the body and the blood that we discern in this thing. Because if we're yet trusting one bit in ourselves, we're discerning another body. We're looking to our own body and not to His. Would you turn from your flesh? Would you yield your members unto Him? What lasciviousness, what covetousness for us to look to these members to try to do something that only our God can do.